been talking about the results out of Super Tuesday's primaries and the exit polls as well, which give us a clue to who's voting and some clues also to why. And it turns out that there's at least a couple groups that Republicans are having trouble connecting with. A big one, Latino voters. They're expected to be 12 million strong in the general election in November. But at this point in the primary season, the Latino vote seems to be slipping through the grasp of the GOP. A Fox poll released earlier this week showed in a head-to-head contest, 70% of Latinos would support President Obama, 14% would vote for Governor Mitt Romney. The same was true for Rick Santorum. So what exactly is the disconnect between Latinos and the GOP? Joining us now is Didi Garcia-Blaze, founder and co-president of the Tequila Party, which is an immigrant advocacy group, as well as the former president of the Somos Republicans. Didi Garcia-Blaze, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So let's take this right to you. Why the disconnect? It's not just Latinos. The GOP is having trouble with African Americans as well. Is there a different reason?
No, pretty much the hostility towards immigrants in our community pretty much sums it up. Most state lawmakers are introducing these anti-immigrant laws are Republicans.
So, Didi, is it a warning sign for Republicans?
Definitely. I've been warning the Republican Party of that for several years now.
Well, what warning are they supposed to take for it? Implies that they're supposed to change their behavior. What should they change?
The hostility in their rhetoric against immigrants. The party that claimed to be for pro-families, keeping families together, the family unity, pro-life, pro-capitalism, free market thinking is no longer that party. That party has changed. You have Republicans such as Lamar Smith and Senator Marco Rubio who claim to be for free market and capitalistic thinking, and they're the ones who are introducing these large government ideas via national E-Verify, which is an anti-immigrant enforcement-only policy. And, Republicans who prided themselves on being pro-family and pro-life, we're seeing Republicans who are advocating forced separation of families via harsh enforcement policies. And with regard to the pro-life issue, these Republicans who are introducing attacks on birthright citizenships and baby rights, they can no longer state that they're pro-life.
Didi Garcia-Blaze, founder and co-president of the Tequila Party, which is an immigrant advocacy group, as well as former president of the Somos Republicans. Thank you so much, Didi.
You're welcome.
Also with us, Leslie Sanchez, author of Los Republicanos and CEO of Impacto Group. So, Leslie, do you agree? Do you think that, say, one of the GOP candidates came out and said, I support the DREAM Act, would that solve their problem with Latino voters?
Absolutely not. The challenge with Latino voters, there's a lot of merit in what you heard, in the sense that it's been a struggle within the Republican Party to figure out exactly what the right tone is going to be. The biggest challenge many communicators have had with Republican lawmakers is that they're tone deaf on the issue, particularly of immigration. But I think there's a lot of consensus. If I've been polling on Latino voters on immigration and immigration reform for 12 years, and it's always been split. You have this very diversified Hispanic community. It's different based on the state that they live in. Obviously, it's geopolitical. It's their level of acculturation, their assimilation, their ethnicity. This is not one big block. Republicans have done better with Hispanic voters based on individual candidates. John McCain, you talked about him. Yes, he did. He did fair, if not poor, in the presidential election, but did very well in his state.
We're here with Leslie Sanchez, author of Los Republicanos and CEO of Impacto Group. And, Leslie, I feel as though every time we talk about either African-American voters or Latino voters in the Republican Party, we seem to ignore an elephant in the room. And that's kind of pointed to by a recent poll in which they said the overwhelming majority of Latino voters believe the Republican Party both ignores them or is outright hostile to them. And, in fact, when these respondents were asked if bringing in a popular Latino politician like Marco Rubio would change that, they said no, which implies that bringing in a candidate that Latinos like wouldn't change the overall opinion among Latinos of the Republican Party. What do you think?
You know, there's a lot of truth in that. You can't look to, there isn't a single solution like that that's going to make people embrace the Republican Party. It's a lot of hard work. It's talking about what their values, shared values are. It's the, you know, the going door to door. It's communicating in Spanish and English. It's a big, long, integrated, serious effort. Many candidates are not serious. The Democrats, I think, take advantage of that. They don't have to put the resources in. They can rely on the traditional idea that, look, your parents were Democrats, you come from a family of Democrats. It's the same old story. And nobody is speaking to a modern, kind of assimilated Latino. And in many ways, I think many Latinos are frustrated that it feels like the 1960s all over again. You know, bring out a beer bus and some tacos. We're talking about chimichangas and this ridiculous nonsense when there's really serious problems in the Hispanic community. And I fault completely the Democrats and that, you know, they increase deportations and they're trying to wrap the American flag around Latinos like they're the party of the immigrant when they're not. And the Republicans, they, you know, we are very frustrated with some candidates and they're just very harsh language, their tone, and then they think they can get away with that in the general. There's a disconnect. I think what you're going to see is the rise of this independent swing voter. That's what the both parties need to make them more viable and put more effort into the largest and fastest growing demographic in the country. And what's different with Republicans and Democrats, Democrats like to think, you know, that Latinos are going to be like African Americans and vote in solidarity. 80%, there was a story in the New York Times op-ed yesterday, you know, are Latinos going to get to that 80% supported Democrats? Never going to happen. And it shouldn't happen. We should vote our personal interest and not based on the color of our skin.
There could be a record number of Latinos voting in November, and it looks as though the GOP is going to have trouble bringing those people in on the GOP side.
The GOP is going to have significant challenges. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the candidates that are at the top of the ticket have to make stronger inroads in the Hispanic community. But I do have a lot of faith if it's Governor Romney or whomever it is, they're going to put the time, effort, energy, and money into it. So it's going to tighten up, become more competitive, and we need to watch for that 40%.
Okay, an ever-optimist, Leslie Sanchez, author of Los Republicanos and CEO of Impacto Group. We've been asking people, Leslie, to add to our Super Tuesday, our primary playlist. Do you have a suggestion for a song for us?
I said Blondie one way or the other because it seems like you can't escape this campaign. It just goes on and on, you know.
I feel the same way, Leslie.
Nice.
Leslie Sanchez, CEO of Impacto Group. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. One way or another, I'm going to see you. I'm going to meet you, meet you, meet you, meet you one day. Maybe next week, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.